College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss banter back and forth and predict some games coming up. And boy, oh boy, there is a whole lot of games coming up in what, about 15, give or take 15, 20 minutes. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State tonight is about to tip here in a little bit, like I said. But when you look at the way we're closing this regular season, is just ridiculous. I mean, there was a ton of games, you know, from this weekend, no doubt about it. I mean, you had Sunday, you had Iowa beating Ohio State. You had Baylor finally losing the game to a streaking, rising Kansas. Illinois found a way to beat the Badgers even out without their best player. North Carolina beat Florida State, but just the ranked versus ranked all week was pretty ridiculous. But look at tomorrow night, Baylor at West Virginia, Illinois at Michigan, Wisconsin, Purdue. Like, and there's games that'll probably turn out to be better, you know, that are sleepers. I mean, Creighton, Villanova on Wednesday, Oklahoma State, Baylor on Thursday, Texas, Oklahoma. Like, it's just so many games to discuss coming up this weekend. Like I said, it's ridiculous. Oklahoma State, West Virginia. Sunday, you got Wisconsin, Iowa, Texas Tech, Baylor. Like, the list goes on and on. We are going to preview and predict some of these games. But we will start with a little recap from this weekend. We did have some upsets and whatnot. Before we get into this, though, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You know, you don't have to listen to the browser or download the show like some people do right there. If you want to listen to it, you know, on other platforms, we got that for you. It's under the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, almost across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Chew Sports Podcast Network, which can be found pretty much everywhere. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingchew.com. It's basketball, football, baseball, boxing, everything in between. One more thing, then we're going to get into this good stuff. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, maybe you have and you're not happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial. No annual contract, of course. Plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And just for signing up, you get a free week of HBO Max. If you sign up for the Max package, that'll include HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime. That's AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, let's just get this out of the way because I know there's this big Tar Heel thing coming because, you know, they had this big rise and a great week. So let's just start out with that. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall, who is going to start with that, I'm pretty sure. How'd that nice little W go over Florida State there for you on Saturday, coming off a very disappointed Marshall the last time we spoke? Off that Marquette game.
Why are you? Yeah, I think you're just you're poking the bear. So I get
exactly
home and
I'm
like, you bastard! Like, why is it that I think from now on, if we have a podcast scheduled for a Carolina game day, I'm gonna have to just cancel. Just stop the count. Fake news. I'm going to call in for a protest because I get home and Carolina is currently playing Syracuse. Carolina was up 8 points when I walked in the door. I believe Carolina was up 28-20. They finished the first half. Syracuse goes on a 14-2 run. Syracuse is now up 8 with, I believe, 2 minutes to go. And looks like we're going to lose again. So for whatever reason, I'm not even going to talk about the 900th win for Roy, which is incredible. But because when Carolina plays on game nights, the boys on our podcast nights, the boys don't play good. But Chris, wait, there's more. That's not even the worst beat of the week. What's worse? What? Let me get the voice ready because this is Actually, let me ask you, because I don't know if you saw this. What would you say? Okay, so Chris, we're at a bar. I was saying, Chris, I'll buy your bar tab if you can predict this number. If I said this team had a horrendous, horrendous, god-awful, drunken hangover, three-point shooting night, what do you think would be a god-awful, drunken hangover, walk of shame night? A team shot what from threes in a game?
Well, I would. The first thing I think of is Houston Rockets missing 27 in a row, but I can find a nice home shooting outing from my Gophers. So I'd say like 3 of 18 or something like that, maybe 4 of 22 or something. Something okay, pretty so bad.
Oddly enough, your number 27 was dead on. Villanova yesterday shot 27 threes.
How many did they make?
The kicker is when you live bet a team to cover, or actually to lose by less than 7.5, they made two. Two, Chris.
That's bad.
It is the worst shooting percentage they've ever had under Jay Wright. In case you didn't know, Jay Wright's been the effing coach there since 2002.
It's actually hard to believe it's been that long, but man, that is bad.
2 of 27, they lost by 12 to Butler. Dear Lord, it is painful as a fan to watch a game, and I could give two shits about Nova. I'm definitely not a fan, especially after that yesterday. 2 of 27 from three. So in my opinion, if I was Joel Lenardi in the power rankings, that one seed, yeah, bye-bye. You ain't getting that. And from an interesting standpoint, because Villanova is a team that will probably be ranked a two or three seed,
sure.
They actually, Chris, have the lowest percentage of block shots in like the past like 5 years. Huh. They blocked like 5% of like opposing shots, like which is, I guess, is like one of the lowest remarkable numbers of all time. So they went 2 of 27 on threes. They have no shot blocker to save their life. The best hope they don't play Iowa. Garza is going to own them. So that was the kicker of the night. Oh, and there was the UCLA game where I took UCLA against Oregon, and it was a close game the whole way through. And then UCLA went turnover, 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 brick to three, turnover, down six. And they went for a jump ball, which I thought should have been called a jump ball. The refs called it Colorado timeout, got a tech, and they didn't cover either. So it was a little bit of a rough weekend of poor shooting, turnovers, and more poor shooting. So to Villanova fans, your boys sucked yesterday. 2 of 27 on threes. I don't know. I doubt many teams have ever done that. So you got your bad, crappy loss out the way, but yeah, 2 of 27, brother, and that's my opening rant, which is now over, and I'm gonna be smiling and happy for the rest of the show.
Man, that's really bad. I remember seeing something like that, but I didn't realize it was 2 of 27. Otherwise, I would have said it right. That's yeah. I mean, 3 of 18 and 4 of 23 or whatever I said. I mean, that's bad. But wow, that's really bad. Yeah. And I know bad because my Gophers are horrendous. They're like the last 30 all year in dead last Big Ten, but yet we take a lot of the threes though, which is kind of funny, right? And I think that's why I'm poking the bear and I'm deflecting, because I don't want to talk about my Gophers on a 5-game losing streak, finally picking up some bad losses, especially back to back. Not a good thing. Hanging on the bubble, but not really. It doesn't feel like they are. KU, another squad, a North Carolina fan. A North Carolina fan generally likes Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas, right? Those are their top three favorite teams, besides North Carolina, of course. I'm joking. But KU shot 3 of 16, right? But they shot 51% from the field, which was really impressive. And just in general, they've been grinding their way. They started out with some good wins that got them ranked high. Then they just faltered for a while. I think they were 0-4 prior to winning a ranked game a little while back. And they got back on course 71-58. I think it was like 38-28 or something like that in the second half. That was a big, big win. And we are going to, you know, Baylor's going to get a test down the stretch. Of course, you know, in the conference, you know, tournament, knock on wood, they're going to get that. But really, when you look at it in general, they have at West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech, who just got a nice win, too. So it will be very, very interesting to see how long that rust stays on. I just spoke of Oklahoma State in overtime. That was probably one of the funnest games from the weekend, 94-90. Like I mentioned, 78-70, Florida State, where they were just looking like crazy on fire. And speaking on fire, Texas, ever since they've been back for the rest, you just don't know what to expect. It'll be a tight game probably, but you don't know what to expect. Texas Tech did get back from their little slump as well with the win over Texas, 68-59. We've talked about how Wisconsin cannot beat a ranked team, although I'd rather be in their situation because we, the Gophers, have five ranked wins, but we may not make the tournament. 74-69, Wisconsin, once again, not even with their best player, Marshall.
I don't know. They're in a funk. I'm not sure how they've been ranked. They've lost four out of their last seven. All the losses have been to, like, good teams. And, I mean, this is a Badger basketball team that normally, you know, they're not world beaters, but they've always been pretty respectable. But they're facing the issue that your Gophers are facing. My Tar Heels can't play defense. That's our issue. We can score. But when you have these runs of games where you can't score for 5 minutes, it just blows my mind. Part of it is obviously the team needs better shooters. Maybe, you know, it's the game plan from the coach. There's a lot of different factors, but for Wisconsin, they've had, I've seen a couple of games this year where they've gone like a stretch of 2 of 18 shooting. And you really almost just normally don't see that from many teams in general, like a 2 of 18 stretch. Something is not clicking.
Or get to the foul line or something.
Yeah, you know, it's going for layups or, you know, just going for a routine player. Yeah, or drawing a foul. I will say the one thing I will say about Wisconsin, they normally for the past however many years normally always had like one like future NBA player. This is a team that, and again, I'm not saying, I don't know the analytics and the projections of people, but this is a Wisconsin team that doesn't have a stud. Like they've had a lot of guys in the NBA, like Kaminsky or Decker, like they normally have a pretty decent squad. This team is just not that good and doesn't have enough talent. But as we were saying, talking before the podcast, Chris, you know, teams are allowed to have an off year. You know, this has just kind of been a weird year where Wisconsin's had a relative off year, but I mean, Kentucky's been struggling. KU's been struggling up until late. You know, Duke has been struggling. So, you know, every team has a down year. And again, fans get spoiled. But this is definitely a year where if you're a Wisconsin Badger fan, you just got to be looking at your team of like, we don't have a lottery player. We can't score on offense. They're not as good of a free throw shooting team as normal. So, yeah, unfortunately for Wisconsin, many other schools in the Big Ten, Chris, it is such a gauntlet and bloodbath of a conference. To where on a given night, if you got to play Iowa, when hot, is maybe the best team in the country. Illinois, for the past month, has been a top four team in the country. Michigan and Ohio State, as of 2 weeks ago, were both considered to get one seeds. Maryland might be the best mid-range conference team in America. Purdue somehow is not ranked yet. Purdue has beat almost half the teams I've already mentioned. Your Gophers, again, I know they're having a rough patch, but they beat some of these teams mentioned above. Like, this is not the year to have scoring issues. Normally the Big Ten, as we break it down every year, brother, is like, okay, well, we got the top four teams. Who's going to be the top four squads? And that's a theme we've normally done on all of our podcasts throughout the years of is, hey, like, let's debate who the top four teams in the Big Ten are this year. And that's a discussion that's fun for the podcast. But this year, I mean, you could say, okay, who's the ranked the top seven in order? And you would probably spend an hour and you could probably have 20 different people give you 20 different top seven rankings. It is just such a loaded conference. It's amazing. I just gave credit to Iowa. Iowa finally played a good game after getting beat up by ranked teams. And Ohio State, who I believe got to be third in the country, just got lost three games in a row against ranked teams. But they lost to Iowa and they lost to Michigan. It's like, well, damn, it's one of the deeper conferences. And just to remind you, Chris, at the end of my podcast last week, or our podcast, I said the Big Ten will have three teams in the Final Four. I'm sticking to that claim. And if it hits, I'm going to be bragging on this podcast because, damn, I don't care how good the conference is, that's still a bold call to have three out of four be from one.
No doubt. In one of your nine Final Four picks, there's only four you can get, but nine of them. No, I'm just kidding. No, but Iowa. Speaking of Iowa, and I'm going to lay this up to you, and then I'm having a little technical issue, so I'm going to have to take like a minute away from it. So I'm going to lay you up here and let you go and then come back real quick, okay? Like, it's not come back, go away. I just need to tweak something. But look at this. Iowa is starting to – we talked about their defensive struggles. But if you look at back about four weeks ago, what would this be? February 10th. This is the opponent out, you know, in their wins, basically, opponent points. 68, 58, 62, 68, 57. They are starting to, even 65 in a loss, they are starting to play some defense down the stretch. They had lost at the beginning of February to Ohio State at home, 89-85. And sure enough, on Sunday, they turn it right back around on them, 73-57. And you could say Ohio State didn't have their best game or whatever, but they looked damn good on Sunday.
So I was a really interesting team. They're interesting because they have one of the best players in the country. Luka Garza is probably going to win player of the year, and the dude probably deserves it. So you have a big who is pretty much unguardable, or you have to have a really good post player that can help double team him or just play him one-on-one, which not many teams in the country have. So yeah. Okay. So you have a guaranteed point score and you have three guys that can shoot the three pretty damn well. A couple of them are close to 40%. So you're thinking, okay, so we had the best player in the country and we have three guards who can shoot threes. Like, that's potential for a team that could be a really serious contender. But the issue is their defense has definitely been lacking. It has been better of late, which
I'm back too.
Okay, which has led to them playing more productively. But the thing I've noticed, just, and this is the Marshall Rorta eye test, is that the fact that they just offensively, it's like if Garza's not open, they don't seem to quite know what to do. Like, these guards that Iowa has are really good spot up 3-point shooters, but they're not take you off the dribble kind of people. So if Garza is covered, their offense, in my opinion, seems to kind of get flustered because the beautiful thing for Garza is he's a really good passer and he just has this great knack for, okay, I'm double teamed. Boom. Here's a wide open three. Or you kick it into Garza. He's not double teamed. He kicks it back out for an open three. Like, the offense really does feed through him because, again, their guards really aren't that even good off the dribble. But, man, they can bust threes. So they're a team, Chris, where if they happen to get super hot, could go to the Final Four. This team could do it. But if they have a defensive off night, or if Luka Garza by chance gets in foul trouble, which, to give credit to him, he almost never does. And again, every team has issues too, but this Iowa team, if Garza's on, watch out. If Garza's off, their guards have to step up, and I'm not sure if they'll be able to, but man, when we saw them play yesterday, that was a Garza was on, their guards hit their threes, hell of a performance, and that's how scary this team has potential to be.
And speaking of potential, I'm looking at it. I don't know if it's a live score because it's on ESPN. 18 seconds left, 71-68 with 11 seconds down. We're talking about Syracuse, and, you know, I'm talking about your squad. So we'll see.
Thanks.
I mean,
appreciate you.
I got to, like, release some of this stuff because I'm taking out all my anger on the Gophers, on everyone, I guess.
Fair enough.
on Tuesday, that'd be tomorrow. You know, of course, when you look at it, the Illinois-Michigan game, 2-4, looks like, oh my God, this is crazy. But obviously, we're not assuming the guard there will for Illinois, who got a broken nose. We don't know for a fact he'd be back by tomorrow, or even, you know, maybe by the tournament. I don't know. So they are an 8-point favorite, especially at home, Michigan. Still only with one loss to my Gophers. That's a positive thing, I guess. Wisconsin and Purdue should be a really, really good game. Purdue is a 1.5-point favorite. That could go either way. We know how hard it is to win on the road in general, even in this COVID year, just ask the Gophers. But the marquee game is number 3 Baylor against number 6 West Virginia. And West Virginia really, you know, kicked it in high gear a little while back. They've been, you know, collecting some big wins. I know that they had a close one against Oklahoma, 91-90. You know, I mean, that was a damn close game. They did beat Texas. So they're right there. They've it seems like they've kind of straightened out some stuff. They beat – oh, that's right. They swept Texas Tech. You know, because they went on their break too. And even when they lost to Texas 72-70, you know, it was a really close game from a while back. You know, on the surface, you think, well, Baylor's probably going to win. You know, they finally lost. You know, that was going to happen. You'd assume that it's actually a good thing if they lost maybe another time or so. And when you look at their schedule, they probably could lose another time or two potentially. What do you think here? You think Baylor's going to – because according to – and this is basically what, like I mentioned last week, what Vegas goes off. According to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, 69.6 chance that the Bears take the W on the road at number 6 West Virginia, who's been playing damn good lately.
Well, West Virginia has won 6 games in a row on the road, or at least had been that way of late. And I mean, they have as hell about as good resume as anyone in the country besides maybe Gonzaga, but obviously their strength of schedule is much more impressive. You know, Baylor lost to Kansas, obviously. Yeah, it's a little bit of a wake-up call. You hear that sometimes where a coach will give that weird speech of, well, we never want to lose the game, but maybe sometimes losing us helps us regain our focus. Maybe you could give that speech for Baylor, or maybe you're just in that weird spot of how did the team handle that such of a long break of the COVID? You know, they clearly had momentum of being one of the best teams in the country, arguably one or two. And, you know, you come off your break and you play a Kansas team who's clearly motivated, who's been getting ripped on all year, and now they've found their groove. So I can't say that's an awful loss. Like, it wasn't an embarrassing loss as it would have been if Kansas had beat them like a month ago, Chris. So I'm going to take Baylor. I think they regroup from the loss. I think, obviously, you can shake off the rust a little bit from your COVID delay, and I think they find a way to beat West Virginia. Yeah, so I'll take Baylor to win. I think they bounce back. But, again, West Virginia's been about as solid of a team as you can present. So it should be a really fun game to watch and one I'll put on my list because I've watched a lot of Big East, a lot of Big Ten, a lot of ACC this year. I need to do a little more Big 12 homework. That's the one conference I've missed a little bit of. And that'll be an intriguing matchup for me to enjoy.
Yeah, I got Baylor, too. I think they'll bounce back. And they're bound to shoot better than they just did from outside.
Just don't pull a Villanova.
Yeah, right?
That's going to last for the rest of the podcast, by the way. Inside joke for the rest of the podcast here. 227, so if I ever rip Nova, you know why.
Well, hey, speaking of, number 14, Creighton visits number 10, Villanova, in the rematch that all of a sudden has all this weight on it, whereas a couple weeks ago it didn't really feel like it until Creighton put the pressure on them by beating them handily. And actually, you know, like we mentioned, they had their best performance as a team in that one of the year, or at least one of them, that's for sure. Now can they turn right around and do it again? I mean, they got caught looking, Marshall, against Xavier, 77-69. I'm going with Nova. just because, well, first of all, I'm trying to piss you off. Second sure. of all, you know, I just think that after that just horrendous outing, they're going to wipe the slate clean. But then again, if they start out like 1-14, that mental, that it might be just mentally in there like, oh, no, we're going to start missing threes. Because I got, you know, referenced, I'm going to keep reference, I guess, my Gophers, unfortunately. You know, they're just going to keep shooting threes even though they miss. But how do you see this one playing out? I got Nova bouncing back and making it just way more interesting than it felt like, you know, before their first meeting. Because it looked like Villanova was just going to run away with it. They do have Providence. Who does Creighton end with? Oh, they got a home game against Butler. So, I mean, this means a whole lot here. I got Nova.
Okay. So, obviously, Nova, statistically, they could, but it would be very hard to shoot worse. Nova should shoot better, one would suggest. But also, I picked Creighton to beat Xavier, because Creighton up until Xavier on Saturday was playing their best basketball of the year, and Creighton came out flat and dug themselves too big of a hole and blew it in a game against Xavier. So Creighton, who was hot, played like shit. Nova, who was hot, shot really poorly. Both teams are in a funk, and I just every time I weave one way, Chris, these teams weave the other. So if I was in a boxing match, I'd be either winning or getting my ass kicked. I'm not sure which one applies, but I keep picking the wrong ways.
Like that too, dude. All sorts of crap.
And you know, I know you like to play the angles. Like part of watching college basketball or betting college basketball is, hey, teams are going to bounce back and forth. Like, again, I really should have picked Iowa to beat Ohio State just because, on one hand, Iowa was due for a big win. On the other hand, you could say Iowa keeps losing, they're going to keep losing. So you could kind of see that Iowa win coming. And earlier, a couple weeks ago, I picked that Creighton would get smoked by Nova because Creighton had not been playing that well, and Villanova had. And Creighton played their best game of the year and destroyed Nova. So I'm going to go with the opposite theory. I think that, okay, actually, I don't know what to think, because both it's at Nova, and
Creighton, they're 7-3 on the road this year too. Creighton.
All right, so Creighton just played like trash. Nova played like trash. Nova shot 2-27 on threes. So in theory, you would assume Nova bounces back with a win, but that would be what I would normally pick. So
sure, Creighton to okay.
win. I'm flipping the script. Creighton with a nice win at Nova, which goes against all my thoughts on both these teams this year.
And that's fair, but that was February. So it's March 1st now. It's a new – we're turning a corner, and true, I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to go Nova, but I like what you're thinking there. It almost kind of makes it feel like me picking for Wisconsin just to see them lose and be happy. So,
and
you know,
there will not even be $5 on that game. That game will just be observed and watched, and probably a couple of words that are not appropriate to be used at the TV. But I will watch it. There will be no financial means at all of that game due to past experiences of trauma.
Yeah, dude. And the Big 12 keeps heating up. And look at it, Baylor, a 10-1 on top. They finally lost, like we mentioned. West Virginia, 10-4, only a game and a half back. And uh-oh, watch out. KU, they're only a game and a half out now because Baylor missed games.
God,
this missing game thing is actually going to start to cost them with their winning percentage. But 7 ranked teams, all top 18 or above, KU now tied for second. Oklahoma State has really been picking it up. And then you have, you know, the Sooners, the Longhorns, in Texas Tech. Texas Tech 7-7, 15-8 overall. And, you know, they have enough clutch players that they could actually go to the Sweet 16. Oklahoma State at Baylor. Oklahoma State has been so fun to watch. They got, you know, of course, Cunningham and whatnot. It seems like they're clicking at the right time. They got their groove going. They had back-to-back really good wins. I think it was Texas Tech and Oklahoma, if I'm, you know, actually, that's going on. That's right, because it's back-to-back games because it's a makeup. It just tipped off right now. Look at this run, dude. Oh, my God. Texas Tech, Oklahoma twice, Baylor, West Virginia. That's how you end, Oklahoma. Have fun, Cowboys. Well, what do you think, though? Do you think they could pull up an upset? I mean, this one, I don't. It's at home.
It's okay, at home. So luckily, you do have what many people suggest is the number one future pick in Cade Cunningham. But even the number one future NBA draft pick, he's not LeBron/Jordan. Like, that is a brutal beast of a schedule. I would say that if they come out, or if they come through this run with a pretty good record, this is definitely going to be a tournament tested team. Oklahoma State's really been a team who for part of the year, Chris, was unranked, but was always kind of sitting pretty in their conference. And unfortunately, they'd had Cunningham out for a couple of games. I know most of those games were not against too many top elite teams. But I just, again, we've talked about patterns and whether that can flow towards like gambling on basketball, but just in general, like Iowa, like there's so many games you can play where you're not going to have your best performance. Hell, even NBA teams, like you get caught up on, you have an off night. And I feel with Oklahoma State and Cunningham, who dropped 40 in their last game as Oklahoma, like the dude can't do it on his own. I do know that they have a pretty good low post game. When I watched them beat up Iowa State for a game about a month ago, they had a couple of nice bigs. But I just think that you just have to find a way, get through this, avoid injuries, and you just have to realistically try to win almost every other game, because that is probably the toughest stretch any team has been on in the, I mean, maybe you could find a Big Ten team that matches it, but that is a brutal stretch of basketball. So if you can win every other game and build up the confidence, because you'll be about as tournament tested as any team in the country. I think you just have to try to view it for the positives and not have the expectation of we're going to run this table. And if you do, then you're probably going to flame out and lose the first game of your Big 12 tournament. That's just a bad beat of a schedule, my friend.
It really is. I mean, you know, they already beat Oklahoma when they were 7th, 94-90, which knocked them down to 16th. And now they're obviously playing right now. My guess is they're not going to be able to win back-to-back games like that, but then number 3 and number 6. So you're basically closing the season two numbers, you know, and like bunch of top 10 teams basically. It's crazy. Even if they, you know, I do feel like they're going to, I think Baylor will beat them, but I God, they're both on the road too. Jesus.
Yeah. That's tough, brother. That's tough.
I really thought that they could win one of those last games. Maybe they'll win it tonight and then just drop back-to-back, but I do think out of one of these games, they're going to win, and I guess I'd pick West Virginia if it was going to be one of them, but I don't know, man. That's a tough one, dude. I almost feel bad for him if it wasn't for my Gophers having to, you know, have a pretty tough string as well. It's always coming back to my Gophers. Once again, Illinois against Ohio State, you know, on paper, it's a great matchup, but it's tough to predict it right now besides predicting it for Ohio State because of the injury concern. Wisconsin at Iowa, Texas Tech at Baylor. I like Baylor in that one. Here we go again. Wisconsin at Iowa. They're not going to win this game, right? Because it's a ranked opponent on the road, right? Are we in the agreeance here? Or yeah. Is it
no? I don't. The I don't opposite know.
Because it's finally going to –
I've been ripping Iowa a little bit just because they have some flaws I've seen, but they're still a tremendous team. This Wisconsin team has flaws, but I can't back them with also saying that, hey, they have this, and this. Like, Iowa has flaws, but they have Luka Garza and explosive offense when hot. Wisconsin has shooting flaws and I don't know what the positive is. I mean, they're a respectable team. They're not they deserve to be like in the tournament, but this is an offense that struggles greatly at times. And now you're going to Iowa, who's coming up their best win of the year, if not damn close. And you got to go at home, and their coach is also psychotic, and God knows I would not want to lose the Iowa games, 'cause that McCaffrey guy is insane. So no,
so is the Ohio State guy. He's getting really chirpy all of a sudden. Is he really? Huh. Notice that? It's like, no. Dude, you haven't won anything. Calm, take a couple deep breaths, bro.
Maybe it's that Ohio State coaching circle. You know, that Urban Meyer guy, he kind of leaves a legacy around places. And now, you know, he's bringing bad people to Jacksonville. Actually, to tie into coaches I don't like in the Urban Meyer tree, Tom Herman now works for the Bears.
I saw that. He's going to be like an assistant offensive organizer or whatever. You know?
So the dude got his fat buyout from the Longhorns. It's like, what should I do? I'm going to go work for the Bears. Oh, no. Okay. All right,
no cool. Pressure but, there.
Yeah, like, well, hell, you,
no pressure on offense.
No one believes in your offense. So that's actually that might be the smartest move Tom Herman's ever made, in my opinion, knowing who he is.
Seriously, he should have just sat at Ohio State. You know, maybe he'd be having the job right now. Who knows?
I don't see, and I bet that spread. I would say probably Iowa by 7 or 8. I think they've got to be 7. And now, granted, Wisconsin was just favored to beat Illinois on Saturday, and they didn't. But I would say Iowa should be probably, in my opinion, anywhere from a 7 to 9 point favorite. Which might seem high to some people, but the way Wisconsin's been playing of late, like, they've done nothing to give them anything. I would not – do not touch Wisconsin. If they win, I will come on the podcast next week and say, hey, dude, I was massively wrong. I'll take the blame for it. But they've shown you nothing in the past month to suggest that they could take down an Iowa team who, despite some – like I said, despite some minor issues, this team could still be a very team to fill in a lot of spots in your bracket.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's a good way to put it. Man, this, you know, there was a variety last year, real quick, there was a variety of teams. It seemed like it was super wide open, right? We were on pace for such a historic, you know, crazy who the hell's going to win. You could make an argument for a bunch of people. It doesn't necessarily feel that way, but of late now with Baylor, we'll see how they finish. Gonzaga, it seems like, you know, they've been on a COVID rest for what will be about 10 weeks playing their conference. So, I mean, you never know. I mean, sure, they've been keeping the rust off. I joke, of course, but you know, I'm looking at it, and here we are in March, and you're like, man, like, I can't believe it's been a year almost since we shut down. Basically, next week will be when we shut down, because remember, they had just gotten some of the Big East games going, and we had, like, the first session. And this year, though, long story short, I still really – it's starting to – blend in where you could start to go down the line of, will these guys, you know, like, how many teams actually have a shot to win the whole thing? Because, like I said, a couple weeks ago, Baylor and Gonzaga, that's really, really felt like. Now you could go back to November and December, and it felt like more, but now it's starting to come the other way. Marshall, am I just trying to hype up something that's not there, or does it not seem like it's getting a little stronger where you go third, fourth, fifth, sixth? All of a sudden it's starting to, I don't know, just when I saw that Ohio State Michigan game two Sundays ago really impressed me. Like, this thing is a little bit more wide open than just a two-team race, is my point.
Well, just for fun, and we didn't plan this, but let me just give you my
I'm not doing this for fun. Okay, no, just kidding.
I'm just giving you my quick hitters on flaws I've seen from teams in the top 10. And you can just do that just to counter back for fun. So just a reason I think that this team could not make it to the Final Four and not win at all. Okay, so for Gonzaga, number one, just don't have the strength of schedule, not as battle tested as a Big 12 or a Big 10 team. For Michigan, I've not seen them with a flaw. I'm not saying they don't have one. I just haven't witnessed that. So I guess I'll miss that for number two.
Just don't play the Gophers.
For Baylor, number three, I mean, besides their COVID break off, maybe that affected them. Again, I've not seen them play much. So I guess I'm one for three here. But Baylor, yeah, whatever. Illinois, the first start of the year was just, it wasn't, they just weren't playing that great of basketball. So if you're an Illinois fan, I guess you're worried that your team is peaking, because that does happen in college basketball, Chris, where you have a good run. You take your hot streak up to the conference tournament. And we've seen this happen so much to where you literally played your best basketball and almost too early in the year. Iowa, we've hit on them. Their guard play has some minor issues. And when Garza is covered, that's a different team. For West Virginia, they normally just struggle to make it past the opening weekend with Huggins. That's just the way they play. This would be a way that he could maybe finally get over that hump. For Ohio State, when their offense struggles, their half-court offense just appears to have issues. And for Bama, I will stop.
They're just soft.
I've called Bama soft. I'll stick with it. I think they're a soft team. Now, again, do you have to be tough to win a title? No, but I've stuck with them being soft. I'm going to keep calling them soft. So, so let me ask you, Chris, again, of those top teams I mentioned, I know I kind of have some different of opinions compared to other people who listen to this podcast or other views nationwide, but I'll say Ohio State's half-court offense scares me. I think Bama's not physical. West Virginia hasn't done it yet. I've hit Iowa enough in this podcast. Gonzaga's strength of schedule. Michigan, I haven't seen much. What would you say for a couple of those teams of like, hey, here's a reason why I could see this team struggling to make a really deep run?
Well, you know, Houston has analytically an interesting team. Strength of schedule plays into that. Just going off of this list here, continuing a little bit. Sure. Nova, we got to see how they straighten out, or, you know, if they can straighten out that debacle. They'll have a chance, though. Florida State was on the move. They dropped, you know, a win that they should. They were up 41-29. At the half, that's not a death sentence like I like to say, but oh my God, we didn't even talk about it. Arkansas, the upset of the week last night or last week. Arkansas, that is the old veteran call right there. Arkansas, 8 spots. I forgot they moved up so high, you know, because they beat a soft ass team like Alabama, but 19-5, they're scrappy. Florida State, I just got to see them, you know, how they finish this. Kansas has some talent. Maybe they don't have the high-end talent normally, but they're hot. Wonder if they, you know, go and beat, you know, they just beat Baylor. Wonder if they get on a run. I guess you could say they could make, I don't know if they can make the Final Four, though. Creighton would have to look like they did a couple of weeks ago every game. And Texas is the biggest head scratcher to me.
Okay.
It's kind of like what you're saying with Illinois. You know, early, but opposite. Earlier in the year, there was a couple of games where I'm just like, wow, okay, Shaka, it's all coming together. They got a bunch of veterans, but it just doesn't. It seems like they're either having a lot of fun and they love each other and they're hugging, or they're trying to get at each other's necks, which, you know, we've seen with teams. It happens. But Texas is one of those games. Man, I don't know, dude. I really like Baylor because they have two bigs, not just one. And they can shoot the lights out for the most part anyway. They have.
Sure.
I still think they have 4 guys over 40%. I'd have to double check that. That's always a killer. If you got an inside game, you got a guard, and then you got shooters, that's interesting. But Gonzaga's just sitting here, and we said it at the beginning of the year, if this is the year, what other year would it be? I mean, it's like you have Suggs too. The Minnesota connection, who is going to be a top 5 pick more than likely, you'd assume, meaning they have a legit player amongst the layers of players that they always have.
True.
He may not be a stat, you know, just hog or whatever, but he's just like a nice staple in that. I wouldn't mind if my Wolves got him, and he'd be the future just guy to put next to Edwards in a couple years. Right now, yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know what to think of Houston. I'm kind of, I don't know. But even getting to that, yeah, I don't think West Virginia can do it, but I think Ohio State has a pretty good chance to get to the Final Four. You got 3 out of 4 going to the Final Four. So this is freaking like, I'm not saying it's as wide open as last year because it does feel like Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor are all the top teams, but any of these guys, I mean, it's a lot more wide open than it was even a month ago, I guess is the long story short on that one, sir.
Yeah, and I think part of that's true is because, and again, I could be wrong in this, but I think that with as strong as the Big 12 and Big 10 are, when you see all the teams we literally just mentioned have these 4-5 game winning streaks against all these ranked teams, it shows you of the potential ceiling a team can have. And that's why of the 15 teams we just ran through, almost all 15 of them have had a run this year. We're like, holy shit, like this team can make the Final Four. And you normally don't have that kind of idea on a given year. Like normally you would not suggest that, hey, 15 of these teams can all make a deep run. But pretty much, I mean, besides Kansas, who I guess just of now has gotten a little bit hot, pretty much every other team aside from Kansas has had a run this year where you're like, dude, like, okay. Like, and Arkansas, who I forgot about, they were not ranked for most of the year up until 2 weeks ago, is now 12th. Like, it kind of, it's just that weird COVID 2020-2021 year. So, well, I do think that maybe the opening weekend of last year, which was going to be incredible, maybe right. We don't have as quite a good as an opening weekend, but I think with how we've discussed the situations, I think that our Sweet 16 potential, Chris, could be one of the better Sweet 16 round weekends we've had in quite a while.
You know, I think that's a great place to end the show. That is a perfect way to put it, in my opinion. You're right. The when we were looking at those opening day that second day games where you're just like, whoa, dude, the round of 32 is ridiculous last year. That is a good point. It's not that deep, but man, it's not just top heavy either. And some of these, I think, you know, some of these conferences where they had to grind it all out, they're not going to really, I mean, they get to stay in the same freaking place now. They don't have to travel. Like, oh, I just get to sit here now? Cool. Sweet. So, you know, we don't have an NBA schedule like a lot of these colleges have of late, you know? And that NBA schedule, by the way, Jesus Christ.
Dude, oh, good Lord.
Talk about calf injuries. How many calf injuries have you seen? Like, that's a whole different ball game. And by the way, we call it the College Ball Show. It starts with football in late August, goes all the way to the championship. Then, of course, we call it the College Bowl because we go to basketball, which we're going to take all the way. We got a month of this still. Then we go to the NBA, and that's going to be a fun summer. Late May, June, July is the playoffs this year. But just a heads up, we will be doing our Playoff Banter podcast, and we'll probably extend it, you know, somewhere a couple episodes leading up to the playoffs too. But I like how you put that. That Sweet 16 stuff, this is gonna be a really fun one, dude. I'm excited, and I think it actually bodes well to be in a bubble for these kids. I think at least, hey, we don't have to travel anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it puts the pressure, and I don't hope this upon any kid at all because of how much these athletes do train and try. But the NCAA came out and said that, hey, dude, if your team gets bounced out, like, you know, tough stuff, go kick rocks. Like, could you imagine being the one player on the team who decides, you know what, I know we're supposed to be in a hotel, but I'm going to go party with these girls at the bar across the street, or I'm going to go sneak out and see my family, or what? If you were the player who is responsible for having your team get bounced out of the tournament, the amount of guilt like a person can feel probably could come to the point where it could cause like really severe mental stress. I hate to go all deep in here, but I think it's true. I think that these players have been through a very weird year, but now that you're making the tournament, you right. really got just, it is in the hotel watching Netflix, kind of checking on your own boys, because how bad would you feel to be the one guy that, well, said player on the team got COVID and now the team's out the tournament? Like, you just let down a fan base and, more importantly, like your brothers and your coaches. So I hope that everything goes good. And I do get the NCAA saying, hey, like, yeah, we're not going to plan for backup plan. I get that because logistically that would create a can of worms that they probably don't even want to try to figure out. But hopefully, as I told, we were talking before on the podcast, on March 10th, so in 9 days, all the big conference tournaments start. I hope that that goes smooth. I hope that hopefully you may be allowed to have a couple of fans enjoy those events. And I hope that we have
members and stuff too.
Yeah. And I hope we have a March Madness to remember, because again, I still remember, and I'll just be my last part for the day. I still remember going to a bar last year. I had the whole weekend off. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go watch the conference tournament games and just enjoy it. Right. And I remember my head coach, I coached for basketball, and she's coached college basketball, so she still has friends. And she's like, man, I just heard that the NCAA women's tournament won't have any fans. And news just started to trickle out that day. And I remember I was still at a different restaurant that night, and it's like Rudy Gobert just tested positive. And then obviously the ball dropped, and just it's been, and it's crazy to think it's been a year, almost a year to the day when all of this changed. So please, for the love of God, and everyone who's been stuck in their house and trying to do the right thing, wear a mask and just bored with life in general and all these other issues, please just let's enjoy college basketball. Because I'm
right there at the finishing line with this thing.
It will be therapeutic for, and I literally think millions of people just need a fun March Madness tournament. Because I mean, the vaccine's out, we're seeing numbers go down, but still, like, this isn't over yet. So can you give us a tournament to enjoy for people just to sit at home, fill out brackets, and just have fun? Like, we're so close to being there. So the
moral of the story is, don't do what North Carolina did at the end of the Duke game. Oh, my God, I brought it back. Sorry, I had to do it. Keep going. You can finish off, sir.
Okay, that's fair. And speaking of that, Carolina does play Duke Saturday, so I will be enjoying that game. We have a softball game. I might have to sneak out early. I might have to just, I gotta go home. Something came up. I never miss my boys playing. So hopefully Carolina can sweep Duke on the year. But Chris, no podcast Saturday. You are not allowed to schedule a podcast during a Carolina, especially Carolina Duke. That would be that would put the friendship in the podcast like on the line of being on pause. Like, dude, I do not want to.
We'd be on a COVID pause. Hey, answer your phone.
Saturday pod. Because Carolina can't win, we do pod. So I will block your number. I will turn off the podcast. I will do it. I'm not falling for that trick. So. On that note, again, stay safe. Keep wearing a mask. Get your COVID shots if you can. I know it's becoming more available. My mom and dad both got one this past weekend when they were super happy to get that done. So hopefully more good news keeps coming y'all's ways. We appreciate the listens as always. And enjoy the hoops tonight. All the small conference tournaments are starting to get going. Lots of college basketball to enjoy at home or at a sports bar if you're going to be safe. Until then, the boys are out. Peace.